Some people recently asked me some good fundamental questions about the season of Lent. So in this episode, I'd like to recount that conversation. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. We are taping this on the Monday immediately after the first Sunday in Lent. And so that means, well, it turns out that after our worship yesterday, someone came up to me, a couple people actually. This is not a rhetorical device, mind you. It sounds like something a preacher would make up to make some points. This genuinely happened. There was a young couple that came up. One of them did not grow up in the Christian tradition. And of course, the sermon was about the season of Lent. And so they came with some very basic, simple, fundamental, and I suppose you could say important questions about the season of Lent. And so today, my assumption is that they're not the only ones with those questions. And so I'm going to just sort of repeat some of the questions they asked me yesterday with some hopefully brief responses here in this episode. So the first question they asked is, what is Lent? And Lent is the 40 days preceding Easter. It's a time typically that Christians use to prepare for that largest celebration of the church year. One of the things we talked about is how most people culturally assume that Christmas is the most important Christian holiday. And of course, it's a very important Christian holiday. But the preeminent and most important Christian holiday, the thing that gives us the context and content of our faith, is in fact Easter. Without Easter, Christmas doesn't mean anything. And so Lent happens to be the 40 days leading up to the festival of Easter. And so one of the other questions they asked is, well, why 40 days? And the most sort of succinct answer to that is that it mirrors Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil following his baptism. And so we, in some ways, replicate that 40 days. It also, though, the number 40 connects us back even before Jesus, particularly to the Old Testament prophets of Moses and Elijah. Also, each of them fasted for 40 days. It also connects us to the 40 years of wilderness wandering when Moses brought the people out of Egypt and slavery and led them to the promised land. So all of those resonances are there with the number 40. One of the questions was, well, what do we do during Lent? And so the traditional spiritual disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are typically lifted up as sort of what we focus our attention on. Sometimes we add a fourth of repentance, sort of a general posture of repentance. And as both Pastor Valerie Strand Patterson and Pastor Michaela Dahleen have mentioned in, first of all, Pastor Valerie in the Ash Wednesday sermon and Pastor Michaela in yesterday's first Sunday of Lent sermon. We do those things not to get God closer to us or to get us closer to God. As they both stated very nicely and beautifully, God is already closer to us than we are ourselves, but rather to sort of use this season to make us more alert to that presence, right? And to be aware of the ways that God is working in our lives. And so through those disciplines, again, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, sometimes called works of mercy, charity, it opens our eyes and our hearts up to what God is doing in our lives. As I was reflecting on this, and I wasn't prepared, by the way, I didn't have a chance to prepare for my responses to these people yesterday when they came to me in the narthex following worship, but I did look up a couple things about Lent before this, and one of the things I really love is a line that is this: Lent is a period of grief that necessarily ends with a great celebration of Easter. And therefore, it is, I did not know this until I looked this up, in Eastern Orthodox circles, Lent is known as the season of bright sadness. Bright sadness. Anyway, that's a by the by. One of the questions I didn't answer, or the first question they asked, is what does Lent mean? I'm remembering now. And it comes from a Middle English or Old English word, which means to lengthen. which has to do with the season that those of us in the Northern Hemisphere anyway find ourselves in during this period of the calendar year when the days, and we know this because it was just daylight savings, of course, but the days are lengthening, the sunlight is lengthening. So Lent is directly connected to the season we find ourselves in terms of days getting longer. It's not a particularly theological word, but that's where it comes from. One of the questions they asked is, well, did Jesus command that we do this, that have this season of Lent? The answer to that is no, and many of the practices that we have in the church here weren't directly commanded by Jesus. The two that are really are the things that Protestants have as sacraments, namely baptism and Holy Communion or Eucharist. Those were, in fact, commandments that Jesus left us as his followers, and so we do those because he commanded us to. Other things like, again, the practice of Lent have been developments over time from Christians, again, because we have found that they're helpful and useful as we reflect on the life of faith. I think those were the main things we talked about. Again, I just sort of thought, since those questions came to me yesterday at the start of this season of Lent, I would sort of replay some of that conversation back here. I will remind you, and we talked about this yesterday during worship, one of the high points of Lent here at St. Philip the Deacon is our Wednesday evening Holden evening prayer services, and those are at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, the five Wednesdays after Ash Wednesday, so those will start this week. We'll probably put this episode out actually the day of the first of those Holden evening prayers. I've mentioned this in past episodes, but we're using a devotional booklet co-authored by our own pastor, Michaela Dalin, called Coming to Our Senses, which is going to allow us to emphasize or reflect on how do the five senses connect us to God. Final thing I'll say today, and I mentioned this in worship yesterday, is a more modern, let's call it Lenten observance, which is something called Lent Madness. I know I've talked about this a number of years ago in this space. It's produced or created by our friends in the Episcopal Church. There's a particular ministry called Forward Movement. And so it follows the basketball collegiate bracket of March Madness, and it has, 32 saints pitted against one another every day in a bracket format, and you can go and vote for them. I'm mentioning that here because this coming Friday, I believe that's the 14th of March, the namesake of this church, St. Philip the Deacon, is actually going to go up against Onesimus. And again, as I said yesterday in worship, nothing against Onesimus. I'm sure he was a great guy. But it would be really fun to see our own namesake, St. Philip the Deacon, progress in the bracket for this year's Lent Madness. So if you're interested in checking that out, go to lentmadness.org. It's actually a really fun way to learn about some of the great saints of the church. I don't know if you can say enjoy the season of Lent while you're doing it, but I guess I did just say that, so there you go. Anyway, again, I'm grateful for the people who stopped me after worship yesterday to ask some of those good questions about the season of Lent. I hope they're helpful. If you have other questions about that or about other topics, as always, I hope you will reach out to me either by email or leave a comment below. And until next time, as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.